See, I think this morning, and just to add on to what Lola was saying, is sometimes I guess we're not convinced that He's got our best interest at heart. Yet He does. See, as a parent, and those of us that are parents know, probably one of the worst things or the stuff I probably hate the most was to discipline my kids. Yet it's part and parcel of being a parent. You don't discipline because you hate or you don't trust them, or it's because you know what's better and you know what's coming. And maybe what you're experiencing, even you think it's discipline, yet it's actually God just wanting to nudge you in a different direction. And being stubborn doesn't help. I've learned that. It's when I say and I pray as Jesus did, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Imagine Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, no, not doing this, then we will not be here. But He submitted to the will of the Father. And therefore we are here. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it will not bear much fruit. God's heart for each one of us this morning, and I truly believe the presence of the Lord and His love for you is here in such a way to let you know that He's got your best interest and your best future at heart. It's as simple as putting your hand in His and trusting Him to lead you. And saying, God, I don't know, but you lead me. And maybe that vision that I saw speaks exactly into that, that there's an opening of a path that you will see the way once you trust Him fully. That you will see that path. That it will open up to you and you will know. But you see, as long as you have the blade in your hand and you're trying to hack your way through this forest, you're putting all the effort. But when you trust Him, He makes a way where there seems to be no way. And He leads you. And you know why He does that? Because He loves you. The one thing the devil would want you to think is that you are not loved. And yes, the reality is, some of us sitting here this morning, you know, your parents, your family, your past says that you are not loved. Who of you here have a past? Okay, only five of you. Okay, so the rest of you just spontaneously appeared here this morning. But the truth is, we all have a past. And it's in that the devil goes and he messes, he uses the things there to hinder us from walking in all that God has for us right now. Nah? He uses your past, your familiar, your bad experiences, sometimes even your good experiences to hinder you or frustrate you from walking in the path that God has for you. And from this morning, I believe it's a place where I go, God, here I am. I'm putting my hand in yours. I'm putting down the panga. Please make a way and lead me. One thing that I figured out at my age is I don't know the future. I've settled that now. I can sort of think, you know, maybe this and that would happen. But the most awesome thing is when I go, Father, I'll follow. And man, it seldom looks like what I thought it should look like. And yet when He leads, it's different. I get tired when I lead. But when I allow Him to lead, then it's just like easy. Then I can rest. As a dad, when we walked, when they were smaller, I remember then we will, well, actually even December, January, when we went on a hike, and it was sort of, it was in wilderness, in the forest and so on, we were walking, and all was well until we encountered the first spider's web, and then I was designated as the one to walk in front. Now, those of you that like hiking know that if you do that, that you face everything. And I remember walking. Now, if you know Caleb and spiders, they don't do well. I mean, he will make a door if there's a spider, if there's no door. But I was walking, and this next moment, as I looked up, there was this big web and a groot meneer sitting right there in the corner. And I stopped by like millimeters and moved to the left, and I'm walking, and these lot are like, no, we're turning back. We're not going, look at this. This is terrible. But that is God our Father. You see, you don't have to deal with the spiders and the webs and the ugly stuff if He's in front. And He is your Father who wants to do that. I walked that whole trail because I'm the dad. I walked in front and I was fine with it. And I'll deal with anything that is on that trail, I'll sort it out because I'm the dad. And they are mine. And they are precious to me. And obviously that one playing the guitar, especially, I like her quite a bit. Ach, the guitar, the piano. She plays the piano that it sounds like a guitar. But I want you to hear what God is saying to you this morning is, I'm your Father and I'll walk in front of you. And doesn't matter what's coming, I'll deal with it. And you know what? He dealt with the greatest thing that hindered us, and that is our sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. Don't tell me I still struggle. I guess you can still struggle, but stop it. Can you move on and step into that which God has for you? You are a new creation. You have been set apart. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's ambassadors. You are His anointed ones. That's who we are. Receive the love of God this morning for you. You know, it's so easy to say, yeah, but Lord, you love Carolyn more than you love me. Look, she's just prospering. You're blessing her. And here I am and I'm suffering. And, you know, I had this experience or that experience. And no. But look at Carolyn, Lord. She's just like, and I tell you, until you walk a mile in Carolyn's shoes, you will not know the struggles that she's been facing, the faith walk that she's been having. We are all on that journey. You are walking a road of faith, so am I. You are facing giants, so am I. But man, when I come to those giants in the name of the Lord my God, that giant is coming down. See, I am His anointed one. And when He's with me, who can be against you? Man, we quote that scripture so easily. If God is for me, and then you go like, Lord, are you for me? You don't believe that He's for you. That He's with you. That is not faith. That is fear. That is doubt. And maybe the last couple of years, the devil has used this last couple of years to sow doubt and unbelief in your heart. And I want to tell you, that's not who you are. That is not who you are. You are a bold warrior. You are more than a conqueror. You are able to do all things through Christ. I don't know why I'm saying all this, but maybe God's got a message for each one of you this morning, that there's greater that there's more. There's a future in store for you that you do not know of, that He wants to lead you into. And maybe it doesn't look anything that you thought it should. Doesn't mean that your situation or even the place that you change, it just means that your perspective of where you are changes, and then everything changes. See, some often we think that for God to do something new, I need to leave where I'm at the moment. That is not the truth. It's where I'm right now that God wants to do the greatest miracle, and you want to see His power just being released right there. Look, if He says to you, okay, up your roots and go, that's a different story. But if He's not saying nothing, if He wants to do a new thing, doesn't mean you leave. It just means you need to trust Him more in that very place. Yeah, but Kobus, you don't know my boss. You're right, I don't know him, but God does. And you know what? God loves him too. As misslick as he is, He loves him. And He wants to use you to touch His life. Yeah, but He's not a believer. That doesn't matter. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light. Let it shine. I think I've told the story a lot of times, but when I had my business, I said, God, I don't want to be in business. I want to be in ministry. And God one day said to me, but Kobus, the reason why you're doing this now is because you get into homes that no one else gets into, be my ambassador. And that changed my business completely, because I understood I'm not on my mission, I'm on His mission. He's about people, not the money. Making the money was the good. I made the money, it was good. But you know, the kingdom value, the eternal value was the people, not the job that I did. Every time I walked into a house, after that, I was like, Lord, what do you want to do here? Sometimes He just said, pray. And that's what I do. Sometimes I had conversations. Sometimes I led someone to Christ. Sometimes I was the sower, sometimes I was the reaper. But I'm on His mission, His purpose. His plan looks different to mine. And the reality is, He loves each one of us this morning so much that He wants to use you. He wants to walk with you. Following Christ is not hard work, but it is a place from obedience. But when I am with Him, I see things change. My future looks different. Definitely less fearful, because I know it doesn't matter what comes. He is my God. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is the God that is for me. He's the one that provides. He's the one that is almighty. So I can stand before a sea and a thing will open, or a river. God will make the way. There will be water that comes from a rock if that what's need to is, that is required. That's my God. He will provide so that He will be glorified. Not me. A fully surrendered life means that it's not about me. It's about Him. So when I go and Father, here's this life. Use it. Do with it as you please. You know, we only get one shot at this, no? One life. Until you go, the biggest favor you can do the people that's next to you is live a life that is surrendered to God fully. And live it radically. Live it from a place of total abandonment of yourself and your plans and your thoughts. Submit your plans to Him and allow Him to guide you. Because He wants to speak to you. Now, but because I haven't heard Him in months, maybe you should just stop. Set aside time. You know, sometimes when we sit with people in marriage counseling and they're like, you know, we're not hearing the Lord or whatever. And then I'll go like, okay, but how desperate are you to hear him? No, no, really, really, really. I say, okay, but then declare a fast. What? You want me to fast? Yes, how desperate are you? No, very. No, then fast. Deny your flesh some things and hear from God. Once you hear his voice, then you will know where to go. It's not about you reasoning about the problem. We're good with that, right? Who of you have got spreadsheets about a problem? I will not watch. Take that spreadsheet and submit it to the one that's the spreadsheet owner of spreadsheets, and he can sort out everything. Can I just say this? To trust the one that you love means that you need to trust him. And just let it go. Just let it go. Your future is safe in him. Your future is secure in him. There's nothing that you need other than Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and I thank you for your word that is solid, that is pure, that is holy, and that, God, we can just sit around your word this morning. Thank you that you've encouraged our faith, that we can walk with you and that we can live with you this morning. I give you thanks, Father, for your love for us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to stand here. Right, so can you put up that first slide, please? So this morning, it's interesting that my title is a bit, I guess, right in line with what the Lord has been saying to us. So I'm going to try and keep this short. Milk and meat. Milk and meat. I'm obviously more on the meat side. Anybody here love milk? Yeah. I must say I love milk too, but I enjoy my meat. Everybody knows. Especially Namibian beef. So if you're from Namibia, you can import. We'll eat those things. All right. So this morning, maybe before I just share what I want to share, I just want to draw our attention to the growth path. And if you put on that second slide, then you'll see the one thing that we trust in God for this year, right through this year, is that we will encounter him firstly. You see, if I'm not walking in a close and intimate relationship with God, then everything else changes. Then nothing will be what it should be, and especially what God has been saying to us this morning is, I want you to encounter me. I want you to steward your time. I want you to set up your life in such a way that you are continually walking with me. Now, for our visitors, there's booklets there at the back if you want more information on this thing. But for us, this is simply to help us. It's not a formula. It's not a, you have to only do this thing. But this is simply a structure to help us disciple other people. So how do I lead someone to encounter God? Firstly, you need to lead them to salvation. You see, until they are saved, the gospel will be foolishness to them. So I need to trust God for those that are around me. And when I walk with my hand in his and by his anointing, those that are around me will get saved. Whether either you lead them to Christ or you sow the seed and someone else leads them to Christ. But that's the one thing that we need to trust God. Without salvation, they will, for the rest of their lives, walk in opposition to God. Because they are not of his kingdom. So salvation is important. Secondly, we need to lead them to a place that they can have daily devotions with God, where they read and study his word, where they get into it so that they will know scripture. Then you need to lead them to worship, not just on a Sunday, but in their rooms, in their cars, whatever. Help them to worship God, to stand in awe of him, to worship him continually, to lead others in worship. That's why I'm so grateful for the people on the stage and their gifts and their talents and their anointing. Because when scripture says, when people play skillfully before the Lord, it's a beautiful thing. So for those that are neglecting playing skillfully before the Lord, please take up your instruments and practice stuff. Stop it now. You know, really, we need your gift. Okay? Prayer. Yeah, but Kovas, that's only for the intercessions. Intercessors is the only one that pray. Who of you are members here of Shofar Brackenfell particular, or Shofar in general? Now, I want to tell you as the members, every second Tuesday there's prayer here, and it's for you. We have intercessory prayers, not for the select few. We want to trust God to shift stuff. Now, here's the reality. Unless you are there, this is going to take way longer than it should. That's Stephen. We should all be there. But, Stephen is there. That's why I'm asking him whether they should be there. It's because Stephen is there. Leanne is there too. So that's a date, right? It's like a very spiritual date on a prayer night every second Tuesday. No, I'm liking this. Okay. Then waiting. Waiting on what? Waiting on the Lord. Because when we wait on Him, we renew our strength. When I have that space where it's not always run, trying to get to the next thing, you know, just do what God is telling me to wait on Him before I move. That is a skill most of us don't have. No confessions. Okay, great stuff. And then fasting. Fasting, there's various fasts, and we can teach you how to fast. But there's a place where you deny your flesh and you set aside time for God to hear Him, draw closer to Him. Fasting is never about the answer, it's about getting closer to Him. Can I just make that clear? Fasting is never about the answer, but as I draw closer to Him, I will hear Him. That's why we fast. It's not for a diet. No, listen, I've fasted where I've lost it kilograms like it's going out of fashion. And the weird thing is when you start eating, they come back with a vengeance. Okay, so it's definitely not for fasting. And NAS, not that you have to fast. It's not for diet. It's not for fasting. It's not for dieting. I get that. Okay, sorry. Then from that, from the place where we encounter God, we want to connect, grow, build, and go. Now for this second quarter, we want to grow. This is the part that we want to focus on over the next couple of months. And it's a space where we want to create for each one of us how you go, Father, how can I grow? What's the next step for me? Now, again, the things that we think you should go through is you need to be a disciple. Now, if I read Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it gives us a good description of what a disciple should be. Okay, I need to be in that place where I am firstly a disciple of Jesus Christ before I do anything. Where I learn from Him, where He teaches me, where He instructs me, and He shows me the way that I should walk. I'm firstly a disciple. All right? I think sometimes with, you know, being a son of God and being a daughter of God, we lose the fact that I'm firstly a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Where He leads, I go. Okay, then from that place, I want you to step into a place of accountability, because we know and realize that none of us can do this alone. I've tried. It doesn't work. I need you. I need the elders in my life. I need the people close to me. I need this woman and these boys of mine. They keep me accountable. Okay, but we have accountability within the body of Christ. So that I have someone that I can go to that, man, God is saying this and this is awesome. But also the other side where I can go like, yes, I'm struggling with this. Huh? Can you journey with me through this? Can you pray with me? You know, we're often in the church, we are always willing to say, you know, can you pray for me about this thing? I'm trusting God for an increase or a new job or, you know, whatever. But we seldom go like, but I'm struggling with my prayer life. I'm not reading the Bible, or if I've got sin in my life, well, I can go, can you pray with me? Yes, the beautiful thing about accountability is your faith encourages my faith. It's amazing how God often puts the people next to you that's gone through stuff that you need to speak into your life. So if you are not in fellowship in that accountability, then you are actually robbing yourself of input, of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Small groups are not just about getting together. Man, stuff happens there. All right, next one, encounter series for those our visitors. That is four different courses that we run. Because we want you to encounter God, and as you encounter God, you are there's stuff that's foundations that's laid in your life. There's freedom that comes. There's life. There's accountability. There's a home. Stuff like that God is building into your life. So that's why we do it, not because you kind of just have to. And then obviously we have different courses and so on that we run. And again, it's for you to position yourself to grow. So if you are not there, I'll say this, and I have to say it cautiously. But a big trend currently in the world is all the blogs and the YouTube videos and everything. That's all good. And lots of us here listen to lots of stuff daily. But who's keeping you accountable for doing that stuff? You see, I need to be a hearer of the word, but I also need to be a doer of the word. And if I'm not in relationship, if that is my input and there's no accountability, I'm going to stand before God one day and he's going to say, but listen, Kobus, I said to you X, Y, and Z through that preacher, why did you not do it? So this is me. I'm careful to just play anything. Because I know my father's going to say, but I spoke to you that day and you didn't do it. So I go like, Lord, what do you want me to listen to? And I listen to that stuff because there needs to be change. You see, otherwise I become like this dam. Yes, man, there's all this water coming in, but there's no flow. I'm a consumer Christian. And I've become fat. Not the faithful, available, and teachable one. I just become fat. So I need to be careful what my diet is. Yes. No amens. Okay, good. All right, then Bible school. You have Bible school, which is 3 years on a Monday night. Awesome stuff. We're going to have power now, so you don't even have to sit in the dark anymore. Praise the Lord. This is awesome. Right, so that's 3 years. It's amazing. And then the final thing about growing is get an outlet. What Lorette said earlier about the discipleship, what we're talking about, small groups, maybe at your work, who are you discipling right now? No one. Ouch. But who are you discipling? It's a question I guess you have to ask for yourself. Is God, who do you want me to disciple firstly? Or is it all about me? Just want to get that stuff in. You know, it's all about me growing. But I'm not giving away that which I freely received. Just giving it to other people. Okay? So disciples. So 1 Peter 2, verse 1 to 6 says this. So, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. That is a mouthful. That's some serious words right there. Okay, so there's a stuff that we need to get rid of. It says, like newborn infants, so like babies, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you might grow up into salvation. Okay, so I need to get rid of some stuff. And then I need to position myself where I long for the pure spiritual milk. I need to have a desire for spiritual milk, for the Word of God. So I need to position myself like a newborn baby for that milk. Okay, so that I might grow up into salvation. So, can I just give you a hint? If you want to grow in your salvation, in your understanding of the fact that you have been saved, then you have to be in the Word. Otherwise, you will not understand why you have been saved. And when we do not do that, it becomes all about me. But when I desire that pure spiritual milk, the Word of God, then I will understand why I'm saved. Then I will understand the purpose and the call of God in my life. Then I can go. Right. So, verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Who of you have tasted that the Lord is good?
Who of you have experienced the goodness of God in your life here sitting this morning? Don't be shy about it. Tell people about the goodness of God in your life. You've tasted it. They haven't. Testify. Start a testifying fire at your workplace. Every day you walk, hey, I want to tell you what God did in my life. It's one of the interesting things about churches. When you say, can someone testify, then it's like, whoom. So, but I don't have a testimony. No, you've tasted the goodness of the Lord. The fact that you're breathing is a good thing. Some of you are not convinced about that. I mean, okay, but we'll pray that the Lord will encounter you so that when you wake up in the morning, you go, that you go like, yes, Lord, you are good. I have breath in my lungs. Nah? As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. So I'm coming to the one that's the chosen. Eh? The stone that was rejected by man, but chosen by God. The stone that the man says, man, it cannot be this, is the very place where God says, but this is what you need to build on. So as I come to Him, this precious stone, you yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So why am I being built in as a living stone into the spiritual house? Because I'm part of the royal priesthood. Because I am to offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Lord daily. Just nudge someone there next to you, go like, hey, your life's purpose is to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Spiritual sacrifices, get it? Not fleshly stuff. But everything that I do as unto the Lord. So I'm offering up this spiritual sacrifice, an aroma that is pleasing to Him. Because everything that I do is honoring Him and pleasing to Him. Because it comes from a place where I understand I'm a living stone. I'm a royal priesthood in this life right now. It's me being a burnt offering to God every day. Okay, for it stands in Scripture, verse 6, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. I love that little part right there. I will not be put to shame. I will not be put to shame. There's nothing that can happen that will make me shameful. I will not be put to shame. I need my brain to get it. Because when my brain gets and understand it from my spirit, that I will live differently, boldly, more courageously. See, some of us has tasted and seen that God is good. And I pray that you will continually taste and see that He is good. You have seen the wonders of God in your life. Just the very fact that you are saved is probably the most incredible miracle in your life. You are not, were not left dead in your sins. You were not left to be in a space where you're going to be separated from God eternally. But you have been saved. He was good to you. He set you apart. He chose you by name. And I'm not going to repeat everything I just said earlier. So my prayer this morning is that you will grow in this new creation that you are. You are not the old Gina. Thank you. Nah. Stephen, I see that hand. Yeah. I'm not the old Quibus. I like the new Loretta. Okay, I lost that now. Okay. You see, the incredible thing is when babies are born, they say if you put a baby wrong way around on a mother's tummy, that baby will turn around and find the milk. It's got the strong desire to get to the milk because it knows through that it will live. And here's the thing, as born again people of God, may you position yourself to get to the life-giving milk, the Word of God, the spiritual milk that will give you life. Your most precious treasure should be your Bible. It should be the thing that you open. And can I just say this? Maybe try the physical version, not the digital thing. You know what's the problem with the digital one? It's not the fact that there's a problem with the written word that's there. It's the notifications and the interruptions that come through while you're reading it on that device. None of you struggle with that, no? Yeah? Because you read the Bible and then fling, and then you see that first headline of someone saying, hey, listen, can I talk to you? Or they say, I've paid money into your account. You're like, whoa, let's see what that is about. Okay. But we need to desire like babies the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God. Position ourselves, turn to Him. See, here's the thing. When I lead someone to Christ, can we all understand that that's what they desire? They desire me to lay the spiritual foundations in their lives. Why? So that they will not struggle later. I'm fully convinced that many Christians struggle because no one took the time to disciple them. No one spoke to them about baptism or water baptism or Holy Spirit baptism or just how to pray or how to read your Bible. How do you hear God? It's like, man, I don't know. But listen, if they can't hear the shepherd's voice, how will they know how he leads them? Okay? So when a child, that milk that it receives has everything in it that they need, right? Moms? Yeah? All the antibodies, all the nutrients, everything. And just like for us, spiritually, we need that milk. We need the continual feeding of the Word of God so that we will not struggle. Some of us are sitting here maybe and you are struggling, but can I say to you this? You are probably struggling because you are not in the Word. And maybe you, if you are in the Word, you have a very fundamental understanding because no one is discipling you. Tomorrow, this afternoon at 5, we are here. Okay, Hebrews 6 verse 1 and 2. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ. Okay, so now we're carrying on here. So now we're moving past just the elementary stuff. And go on to what? Maturity. So we should not just be babies any longer. Okay? So let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. And then he lists 6 things, and we're going to look at this briefly. He says, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of instruction about washings or baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So he says, hey, listen, guys, can we not just, you know, stay with the elementary things? And he lists them. Okay, so he wants you to focus on, and these things that he's speaking about here is the elementary things. This is the foundations. So if you want to know what to disciple someone in, this is a good start. All right, so let's look at this. Repentance. If you find yourself in a space where you are continually wondering whether you are saved, and you feel this intense sense to repent all the time, then you are not getting past the elementary stuff that when you repent, you are forgiven. When I repent, I don't do what I used to do anymore. I'm turning away. You know, repentance, the word actually means when I'm busy doing what I'm doing, then I hear the word of God, I turn around, I repent from my sin, and I walk away from it in the opposite direction. I never do it again. Some of us struggle with that we think we can play with it still. No, that's not true repentance. Then you have not repented of your sins. It means that I'm no longer that person. So he says, listen, can you teach the people the thing, this principle of repentance, that when you repent and you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a new creation. You are no longer, you don't have to continually repent. But then James says, listen, if we do sin, we have an advocate before God. We have someone that we can go, Lord, forgive me for I have sinned. You see, I cannot toy with sin anymore because why? It's not who I am. I'm not a sinner when I'm in Christ. So I'm struggling in this life still, and I still have temptations and so on. And if I do sin, I can ask for forgiveness. But man, there's a massive difference than sinning because, you know, it kind of just happened, or and willfully doing it. So don't lay again the foundation, the foundational doctrine of repentance. Can you move on? And can you teach others that repent of your sins, know that you are forgiven and live in the new life in Christ Jesus, the new creation. So if you are struggling, then you need to renew your mind. You need to get back into the Bible. You need to be in Bible study. You need to be in Bible school so that you can understand what Scripture is saying about for you. Deal with the dead works of the flesh. Deal with it. I cannot deal with your stuff because I've got my own stuff to deal with. I can keep you accountable for your stuff, and I can walk with you. But you, it's probably one of the hardest things in ministry that I found, is you can give people the truth and they still have a choice whether they want to obey or not. I can tell you everything that Scripture says. I can show it to you, and then you can choose to ignore it. That's tough, man. But I can hopefully at least be there where I can speak into your life and help you to grow. The second one, faith towards God. That is a foundational doctrine. I want to encourage you this morning to be confident in your faith towards God. The fact that you are saved, the fact that you have been born again, that your sins are forgiven, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Man, if you get Scripture into your heart, you can be confident in your faith. Faith is foundational to Christianity. You cannot be a Christian and not believe. You have to believe. You see, if there's unbelief in your own heart, I want to encourage you to deal with that stuff. To get rid of the lies of the devil that's in your heart. To deal with the things that are hindering you from walking in your faith towards God. Okay? The just ultimately will live by faith. The next one, the doctrine of washings or baptisms. Now, can I just say, if we read Matthew 28, 18 to 20, we say, go therefore and make disciples. And then what? Teach them everything that I have taught you, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I am with you always. Now listen, can I just say here, baptism is a result of discipleship. Baptism is obedience to the one that sent us. If you lead someone to Christ, for goodness sake, please baptize them. Some of us here sitting, and you have been neglecting obeying Jesus by being baptized. You know, I'm not ready. Readiness has got nothing to do with the price of eggs here. Being baptized is it's a public declaration that I'm choosing Christ, that He is my Lord and my Savior, and I am obeying Him. That's the declaration of baptism. And it's funny how Christendom has now become okay with the fact that people are not baptized anymore. And then we don't even speak about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. With the evidence of speaking in tongues, those things are real. That is Scripture. He says, listen, let's not lay again this foundation of things that are elementary to the Christian walk. Many Christians are struggling because they are simply not obeying the word of God. See, as we are sitting here today, when we think we need to grow, if this is not in place, then I want to encourage you to get them in place. The next one, the laying on of hands. Why is that one of the foundational doctrines? The laying on of hands is biblical. Yeah, but Kubis, you know, you need to be careful on who you lay hands. So what you're actually then saying is that he that is in me is not great enough. Nah. You see, when I lay hands on people, it's not me. I'm doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. And as my I'm imparting that which is in me, the life, the God that is in me, I'm trusting him to impart stuff into you. So I'm laying hands on people to get healed. I'm laying hands on people to bless them. When we separate them for ministry, that's why we lay hands on people. In small group, there should be lots of laying hands on hands. I know, Sally, it is sometimes you want to... I'm joking. Don't neglect the foundational doctrine. Number five, the resurrection of the dead. This portion obviously means that you need to raise the dead. Now you're all freaked out. No, what this means is that we will be raised from the dead. Death has no longer got a hold on us. Death is not the end for us. We do not have to fear death. Doesn't matter what comes to us. I think in COVID, probably the biggest, saddest thing that I saw is how Christians fear death. I'm like, why? I'm not saying be stupid, but they became fearful about this whole thing. But we will be raised from the dead. When you lead someone to Christ, they will be raised from the dead. We're going to spend eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then the last one is eternal judgment, which says there will be a judgment. And the consequences of that judgment will be eternal. And there will be no appeal to that judgment. It's final. And there's no reversal of that judgment. You see, that is coming. We're not there yet. But I have to live understanding that I'm going to stand before God. Amen? Just a few last scriptures. Colossians 2 verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him. Walk in Him, not in John. Don't walk in John. John is for Paulie. Don't walk in John. Walk in Jesus. Nah. You see, when I walk in Quibus, I have trouble. Somehow I've got this message now. Don't walk in Quibus. Don't trust Quibus. Walk in Jesus. Okay? And it says, rooted, someone, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. Where is your roots? Go check what you're listening to. What you're busy with, you'll see where your roots is going. Maybe you have to chop up a few roots. Amen. Okay, I'll just leave that there again. Just you were taught, abounding in? Ah, oh, come on, saints. This is one of the most powerful tools that we have as believers, is being thankful. Because it doesn't matter what I face, I have breath, I can be thankful. I'm alive. I am thankful. I don't like where I am, but I'm still thankful. So don't tell me I've got nothing to say thank you for. Hebrews 5 verse 12 to 13. I'm going to rush through this quickly. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. I want to ask you how long you've been saved, but I'll leave that now. You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk. Not strong meat. I replaced meat here. It says strong food. But I like the fact in one of the other translations it says you need meat, man. You cannot suck a steak through a dummy. Doesn't work. Okay? You have to eat me. You have to chew it. You have to consume it. It is different. You see, we can't stay with the milk. We need to get to the meat where we're consuming the strong word of God, where we wrestle with it, where we can minister it. Okay, so she says, man, I need you to be teachers now. And there's some of you that are sitting here that are amazing teachers and that are not walking in your gift. Oh, now I'll just leave that there. Okay. For everyone who lives on milk is what? Unskilled. Ach, man. In the word of righteousness. See, if I stay with the milk, I will always be unskilled. I wanted to tell you, position yourself so that you can start teaching people. Oh, but Kobus, I don't know enough. Listen, if you've got born again, today you're in a place where you can teach someone that's not born again. So if you've been saved for a year, you've got a lot to teach the other person that's not saved. So don't tell me you've got nothing to. Don't tell me God has not been working in your life. Because that's what you teach. Right. Okay. Unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature. For those who have the power of discernment trained by constant... Gesundheit. If we don't practice it, we're not going to become strong. Okay? To distinguish good and evil. You see, I read the word, I study the word, and then I practice the word. And as I'm practicing it, I say, whoa, this is amazing. 2 Peter 1 verse 5 to 8 says this, for this very reason, make every effort. Everybody say, make every effort. Every effort? Okay, listen, you don't even believe that. Make every effort. What does every effort mean? Just sometimes. Make every effort to supplement your faith. So we've been speaking about faith. We supplement your faith with virtue. And your virtue with knowledge. Bible school. And your knowledge with... You need to control yourself to get to Bible school, to get to the encounters, to get through the growth path, to get to small group, to get to places where you can minister and allow God to use you. You need to some self-control, okay? And to your self-control, waveriness. No, steadfastness. It means that you are like a rock, man. We can lean on you. You are there. And to your steadfastness, godliness. And to your godliness, brotherly affection. To brotherly affection with? Whoa. That scripture's loaded. I haven't got enough time. For these qualities are yours and are increasing. They keep you from being? Oh, come on. Some of us here are ineffective because we are simply not engaging in scripture. I'm not seeing this happening in my life, therefore I'm ineffective in the kingdom. I don't want to be ineffective any longer. And unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 17:5, the disciples pray a very simple prayer. The apostles said to the Lord, increase my faith. So this morning my prayer is, that God will increase our faith. That we will grow. We will get past the elementary things of the faith. We will step into maturity. And the impact of that will transform the nation. Saints, the only way our world's going to change is not for the government to come right. It's for the saints, the children of God, to walk in the anointing upon their lives. That's when things are going to change. You know, we all say, yeah, but revival. And yes, please, come on. Revive me, Father. But until then, can I walk in such a radical, on fire way that people will know that you are alive and that you dwell in me? Let's stand.